There's a lot of things that I'd like to say when I come to service on Sunday morning and Sunday night. My heart is filled with the wonderful things of God and the revelation of the Son of God. And as Paul said, there was given unto me the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though there be much revelation, he said, I doubtless shall come to revelation and come to visions, even though he had the revelation of the Son of God. You still come to revelation and you still come to visions. And everybody that can get into the anointing or move into the spiritual things of God, they get a revelation from time to time. But there is a world of difference, as I say so often, between a revelation and the revelation. A revelation, you may get a revelation most any time if you walk with the Lord. God may reveal something to you, and of course something that revealed to you, that is a revelation. So you may get a revelation any time. But when it comes to the revelation of Jesus Christ, there's quite a bit of difference. As a matter of fact, you'll notice in the first chapter, right here of the book of Revelation, it says chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, that is, unto Jesus Christ. So the revelation of Jesus Christ is what God gave unto Jesus Christ. It was that which God revealed unto Jesus Christ. And when we ask the question, what was it that God revealed unto Jesus Christ? It was that God, the great eternal spirit, through that human body, revealed that human body that he was God Almighty in the fullness. It was revealed unto the human body that he was the fullness of God. And today, I've received the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And that angels are ministering spirits to heirs of salvation, then it is that an angel came and signified this to John. But it was the revelation that Jesus gave unto John. The Bible said God having given it unto Jesus that he might show unto John, or that he might show unto Brother Taylor, or he might show unto Brother Pike, or he might show unto the church. And that's why the Bible said pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. If you don't have the spirit of revelation, then you're just a babe, for the meat is for the strong. You're just a babe and you just have to desire the milk of the word that you might be inspired with the spirit. Maybe, you know, rejoice a little bit in the Spirit, feel the inspiration or whatever it might be. And sometimes maybe speak in tongues, sometimes it might be the moving of the gifts. In some manner it might move through you. But one Spirit, many operations. This great, wonderful operation of having the revelation of Jesus Christ is the all-important thing. That it might be revealed to you by the Spirit who you are and whether or not you are one of the elect. Paul spoke of some people that worked with him one time. He said, and these whose names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Someone would say, well, Paul couldn't know that. Nobody could know that, but nevertheless he said that. And to these he said, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So God brings great things to us, reveals great things to us. And this great, wonderful spirit of revelation that God will give you will reveal to you who you are. And as Jesus said to Peter, he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, oh, the prophets or whatever, you know. But he said, Peter said, who do you say that I am? He said, Christ. I know that you're the Christ. He said, you're the Son of the living God, the Christ. Because he had a revelation. And Jesus said in return to him, Peter, said education didn't give you this. Or he used the terms, you didn't go to college to get this, or you didn't go to school to get this, because he used the terms, he said flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. He said this is a revelation. He said this is something from Almighty God. The Spirit itself has let you know who I am. And you've seen beyond the veil, and you've seen the one that's dwelling on the inside of this little tabernacle of clay. And he said that is, when I say clay, not made of the dust, but That is, he was in the likeness. Well, Jesus said that he didn't come from the earth. We come from the dust. He come from heaven. But here we see that it was revealed to him, and he said, Peter, this is a revelation. And he said, upon this, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Whereas we're the gates of heaven, and he says, lift up your gates that the King of glory may come in. So he says to you and I, open up the gates or lift up your heads, the everlasting gates that the King of glory may come in. That is from Calvary with a rent veil, which means that we are an entrance as to a human body. The Bible said that he made within himself a more sure way and gave a more sure word of prophecy in that he made this rending through his veil. That is to say, through his own human person, he rent the veil in twain, that is to say in two, and that the Bible says he made within himself twain or two. He rent this veil in two, and since that time it has been accredited to you and I that your body is now dead but the body of the Lord Jesus, in that ye are the body of the Lord Jesus, in that he was made your sin, that you might be made his righteous body. And so then you've been made his righteousness in God. So it is your body that is dead, the sinful image of the bastard child that God rejected at Calvary. And it is now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as God sees it through the telescopic view of time, looking down at Revelation 19 to the change, and that we're complete in the Lord Jesus. He never sees us through the valley of the shadows. He just sees us from mountaintop to mountaintop. That means that this body has been rent in twain and the spirit has been separated from the body. And the Bible said at death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it, which means the body is buried in a watery grave. It is numbered with Jesus in death. Sin is gone and the body is dead because of sin, or God had to kill it because it was sinful. And now the Spirit has gone back to God who gave it, in that the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom has been preached, that is, thy kingdom come in the earth, Father. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Now as the kingdom of God is now nigh you, Jesus said the kingdom of God has come nigh you, and the kingdom of God is now preached. So it is now in the earth, and men press their way into the kingdom of God. You have a chance to press your way into the kingdom of God. That is to say, your spiritual being presses its way, as I said earlier, into the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ is the kingdom of God. It emerges into the Spirit of Christ, which is the kingdom of God, and becomes one, and it's not you living anymore, but Christ. Because your body is dead and buried in water, so that's not living in the sight of God because of sin. And your spirit now has went into Christ, so he doesn't see your spirit anymore. It is one with Christ, and all he sees now is Christ. So then you're dead, and Christ is now alive. And Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ. And the life I now live, he said, it's an eternal life that was given me by Christ. The life I now live is the life of Christ. And my life, which was lost because of sin, the temporal life, is gone. So death is swallowed up in victory, and Christ is the victory. And my faith is the victory that overcometh the world, even my confidence in that Christ, which is the victory of God. So great is the mystery of godliness. Now the body, the veil is rent in twain, and the body is buried in a watery grave. The spirit went back to God who gave it. It's not in this world anymore. I've chosen you out of the flesh. I've taken you into heaven. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the restoring of the restitution of all things, which is the millennium. So then that means that you are now hid with Christ in God. You're not in the world anymore. You're not in the flesh anymore. You can't sin anymore. You passed over sin. You passed over death, and you don't have to worry anymore. Like the songwriter said, and I won't have to worry anymore. So then we passed over death, we passed from death unto life, and now we don't have to come into death anymore. You don't have to die anymore. Death being over, it means that your spirit can never go into the lake of fire. Because the death that he is speaking of is the second death, which is the only death in that the bodily death is really a sleep. It's not a death. It's sleep. Lazarus sleepeth, I go to awake him. Paul said, I show you the mystery. Behold, we shall not all sleep. Which means have the bodily death in the sense that at Thessalonians change, we'll all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. in the twinkling of an eye, like as from the stirrup to the ground, as we would say. So then that means that your veil has been rent in twain. That is to say, within his body, and that you're his body. He made it himself twain, even two, the Lord and the Christ. In the book of Acts, it said he made it himself both the Lord and Christ, and now the veil is rent in twain. And when he spoke of the temple and the veil being rent in twain, the natural people thought he was talking of the natural temple, and they understood not, the Bible said, that he spake of his body. But he was speaking of his body. He said, tear this temple down, do away with it. In 3 days I'll raise it up, I'll resurrect it. And the Bible said he made it himself twain. He rent the veil, that is to say his own flesh, and revealed the contents of the inner, that is to say separating the spirit from the body. And he revealed the spirit, which was the inner kingdom, as to the ark of God's covenant, which is seen in the book of Revelation, because what John wrote about was the expose, that is to say, the spirit coming out of the body. He wrote about the spirit, and he called it the ark of the covenant. And when he spoke about the body, and he spoke about God smiting the body and all these things, he called it thundering and lightnings and terrors and all these things that kept smiting the body of Jesus Christ to keep from smiting us. And it's a beautiful thing as to the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we see then that our body is now dead because of sin, and that he that is born of God, the Bible said, he cannot sin. Sin is over for him. The angel said, Daniel, and I remind you of these things over and over that you might get a continuity of them in your mind. The angel said to Daniel, Messiah shall come and make an end of sin. 500 silent years went by, and all of a sudden Messiah came. Jesus came, and when he came, he made an end of sin, and there is sin no more. No more sin. My sins are gone underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. That is to say, they're not just gone as to my confession and gone as long as I live an overcoming life. They are gone. They were gone before I was ever born into the world. For the Bible said this was given to me in Christ before the world ever was. And then revealed to me at Calvary as to the rent veil, as to the opening of the curtains, as to the great drama of the church age. So then that means that my sins have been gone. And the Bible said God saved me while I was yet in my sins. That is, I'd never made a confession of them. I'd never come to God. I'd never been born. As the prophet said, before I was ever born into the world, I was called of God and ordained to be a prophet. As it was said of Judas before he was ever born into the world, the Bible said, let another his bishopric take, because he was predestinated to go to a certain place, and that place was to the field of blood. And he went to his place, the Bible says. So then that is to say there was a preordained place and Judas went to it. And so it is as with Esau and Jacob. I remind you again, the Bible said the children having done neither good nor evil, so that it would not stand of works, but of him that calleth, it was said, Jacob I love and Esau have I hated, before the children was ever born, having done no good and evil. So it would be by the calling. And when Paul preached, Paul said, and as many as were ordained unto eternal life, they believed, and the rest of them did not believe. So them that were before of old ordained unto eternal life, when Paul preached, they believed, and the others did not, because the Bible said all men have not faith. So we see this great, wonderful thing as to sonship, as to the church, and as to what God's done. If I sniff a little bit, you just pardon me. I said all those things to say this, that Jesus dying and the rending of the veil was to give you eternal security, to separate you from sin. The body's dead because of sin. Paul said sinful flesh, that ended it. Your flesh is gone, it's sinful flesh, that's it. That's all of it. You can't sin anymore, it's gone. The devil, Lucifer, the prince of this world, to get to your soul, to make you sin, has to penetrate through your five human senses. And he cannot do that anymore. Because if God considers your body dead, then he has sealed your spirit by the Holy Ghost, just like a woman would preserve something by putting a seal on it, calling it preserved, or that which is sealed. And nothing can penetrate that seal because it is light, and darkness cannot fellowship light. So nothing can penetrate that seal. Your spirit is interwoven, just like I would say, as with the safeguard. If I took a garment and I put what they call safeguard into it, then that means it would become interwoven with the fabric, and nothing could get into the fabric because it is thus sealed from any spots or blemishes. Therefore, being born of God, the Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin. For God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And the Bible said concerning the Christian, he keepeth himself. He hath the ability to keep himself. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. So he is without spot, he is without blemish, and God is coming back after church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So then the whole thing of Calvary was for one purpose, and that was your salvation. And your salvation means that he divided asunder your spirit from your body and done away with your body of sin, buried it, and took your spirit into heaven, which is your inner man, and sealed it in. So it's all over for you. You never have to worry again. Now, what is it that I should do? What is that? What is that called? It is called the revealing. Or it is called the dividing asunder. Or it is called times, time and a half a time. Or that is to say, it is called, as we would say, the dividing as to times, time and a half a time, or the dividing of times. And of course it does as to BC as to AD. But it means that the old world perished and went out, and Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. That is, they that were under that covenant. See, that was the end of the world. Now you are in a new world. As the writer said, I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. And you're on this side of Calvary now, so you're in a new world. And the difference is one world is down here and one world's up here. So at Calvary, to the dividing asunder, you went up this way and your body went into the ground. And the people on this side of Calvary kept going right along. They kept going right along. So far as time element is concerned, one day, 2 months, 3 years, 1950, right on. See, they went right on because they did not get past Calvary. See, they didn't get past Calvary because they are still under the law, which is on that side of Calvary. And the Bible calls them the souls under the altar as to those that died back there in the faith. Souls under the altar, Revelation, the Bible gives it in Revelation 6, and it's souls under the altar crying, how long, O God, how long, O God? Because they are here in a grave as a body, and their spirit has departed into a paradise, and they're crying because they are bodiless. They are spirits, they are bodiless. Angels don't have human bodies. But these that die, they left their body because they do have bodies, and they are bodiless. And because they are in the grave and they are bodiless, their spirit is in paradise, and it's crying out, how long, O God? And Jesus, after Calvary, if you remember, went down into the heart of the earth to preach to these souls that were in prison. He went down there to preach to them and to give them a body because they were bodiless because of sin. So they didn't have a redeemer like we have. So because they didn't have a body, then he had to give them a body. Now, we're not bodiless. We're bodiless as far as this outer person that has been born into this world. We're bodiless in that this body is already done away with and buried in water because of the death of Jesus. He took away that body that left us bodiless. But he gave us bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And the Bible said, you are now the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the church, him being the head of that body. And we are members in particular, having been baptized into the membership of this body by the life. My arm is a member of this body by virtue of life. So if I have the life of Christ, then I am a member of that body because that life flows from him to me. So by that spirit of life, I become a member like a branch on a tree, by the life, virtue of the life of the tree. So then I've been baptized into one body. You've been baptized into one body. That is to say, one membership as to the head, Jesus Christ, by him. And he is the head of that body, which means if we're all together ordained under the full measure of the full stature, that is collectively speaking as the membership branches under the tree, then we are all one body, one tree, That is to say, the tree of life and not the tree of death. Whereas on the other side of Calvary, John cut down the tree that was the tree of death. All the way from Calvary back to the garden, he cut down the tree of knowledge, which was the tree of death. For to be carnally minded or to have knowledge is death. The world is filled with knowledge and death. For to know and not to be able to perform is death. And you know, but you cannot perform, because the carnal mind is at enmity with God. It cannot perform the things of God. Therefore, you are dead if you are intellectual. But if you're spiritually minded, then you are born of the tree of life. And you are members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in particular, which is God's tree of life. He said, if they do this in a green tree, what will they do to the dry? Speaking of him as being the tree of life. So I said all these things to say this, that great is the mystery of godliness. God has separated Calvary. He's called this the dividing asunder. It is the revealing of the innermost, and it is called the revelation. That is the revealing of, or the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is why he said that he would like for you to have the revelation, that is to say the spirit of revelation, because by having this, it's the only way that you can enter into the spirit world or translate into the spirit world. People who live in this world that's just churchy, that's just natural, they're never going to get into the kingdom of God. They are churchy. They are natural. They're looking for natural things, a natural God, a natural city, a natural earth. They're looking for everything natural, and they don't understand that God is a spirit and that this whole thing is an invisible thing of God. It has nothing to do with the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. He killed it, laid it aside, buried it, because it hath nothing to do with God, to the plan of God, because God is a spirit. His angels are spirits. All of his, the great city is a spiritual city. There, somebody would say, well, but Brother Pike, someday he's going to bring this body up, and bless God, we're going to have a body. I know all of that, but being ignorant, Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, but being ignorant, you don't understand. It's true, it will bring the body up, but it doesn't leave the spirit. The Bible said there's a natural body and a spiritual body. So he gives you a spiritual body, so you don't get the natural anymore. See, that's done away with. It's no more. God is not natural. All that's carnal. That's the kingdom of Satan. All of this world is the kingdom of Satan. He savors the things that be natural, that be carnal, that be fleshly, because that is lying vanities and lying divinations. All of it must pass away, and people are vainly puffed up by their intellectual mind to project their human person, whether it be preacher or whatever, to cause himself to be seen of somebody, to be something in the world. See, and of course, God isn't going to have anything to do with that. All right. I'm just trying to lay a little foundation for one or two things here. I want to say one or two things to you, and maybe it'll take a few minutes if you'll bear with me, and we'll try not to keep you long. So then, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? What is the revelation? It means Calvary. What did John write about? He wrote about Calvary. He wrote about the unveil. That's what the revelation is. The revelation of Jesus Christ is Calvary. For the door opened, Peter saw in the door, had the key to it, opened that door, and then seven church ages later, here Jesus is in the midst of the candlesticks, and here the door is open in heaven, which is Jesus Christ, and that he said, I'm the door hanging between heaven and earth. I say this again to illustrate that shepherd went up and opened the door, and through that door went the others right onto the moon, into the galaxies, or into what they call the celestial. See, Jesus being the chief shepherd, he opened the door. If I be drawn or lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So then Peter opened the door at Calvary, down through the church ages it went. At the end of the church age, here Jesus is standing in the midst of the candlesticks. And I say again, who was that in the midst of the candlesticks? It was Paul. It was Paul standing in the midst of the seven candlesticks. Somebody would say, no, that's Jesus. But see, the interwoven thing is, Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ. And it was Paul that established the nine churches, out of which Jesus chose seven for the church ages. So it's Christ in the beginning, not Paul. For Calvary come and the body's gone, and now it's not me living, but Christ. And so then he was caught up into the third heaven to show that Christ was the capstone up at the third heaven. And down through the church ages it went. So it's here as to a human form, as to the revelation of Jesus Christ, because Paul spoke of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what did the spirit of revelation do to Paul? It revealed to him that he was God. down through the church ages, and when he got to the end down there, it was God standing in the midst of the candlesticks. So then it was the door that was open in heaven, and John went through that same door that was opened by Peter over at Calvary. And that same door is open today, and men have a right to enter into it by faith, and they can enter into that by faith. Or if you call on the name of Jesus, believe that he is the Christ, and believe that he has been raised up for you, you can translate by faith. Enoch translated by faith that he should not see death. And you can translate by faith into the marvelous kingdom of God. You can translate right on into that kingdom, go right into that kingdom and become eternal to where you'll never die. Your spirit will pass from death into life, and that it can never go into the lake of fire. That is to say, your spirit can never be separated from God's spirit. And then you can come to the place to where your body will never sleep. We can go on to learn and to understand and to master this thing through Christ and the details of it. And then we can come to where we'll never sleep. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. There's coming a Thessalonian change where the body will not be put in the grave, but the body will be changed. And it is those that come into the revelation, because there's going to be a change. When Paul got the revelation, he went up to the third heaven. When John got the revelation, he went up into heaven. When the church gets the revelation, they're going up into heaven. So I don't know about two or three times this revelation's ever been given. That's why Brother Taylor said, if you understood what it is the coming of the Lord. It is the coming of the Lord. Someone would say, well, I don't see him. But the Bible said the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. Neither shall they say, lo, here's the kingdom, or lo, there's the kingdom. For the kingdom of God is within you. See, the Jews didn't receive the kingdom. They didn't see the kingdom. They looked for it through carnality, as to lying vanities. We know that we could never see it that way, because the Bible said Paul looking at the light. These little 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain, beholding that light, he went blind. How could we ever see the Lord coming? Just that light alone. Paul went blind. See, so it doesn't come by observation. But it's through eyes of understanding. God is a spiritual declaration, and we see him through eyes of understanding. Jesus said, I do always the things I see my Father do. Well, you know the Father wasn't there. As to seeing something natural, because Thomas said, show us the Father. And it suffices us. Jesus said, Thomas, have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me? You understand what I'm saying? Know ye not that I am in the Father? The Father's in me? That was the revelation. What was the revelation? That he come to realize that he was the Father. Until you come to realize that you're a God, then you can't go. You can't be there. You can't be in that great, wonderful thing. Oh, somebody would say, Brother Pike, you must be crazy. No, I'm not crazy. Paul said, this thing wasn't done in a corner. If I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for Christ. Paul said, getting the revelation. He said, and let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind? The mind of the revelation. What did it do? He said, in this mind that was in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. For the Bible said, everyone that be perfect shall be as his master, to make us equal with God. And another thing is, someone said, but Brother Pike, he alone will be God in heaven and sit on the throne. But that isn't Bible. The Bible said, everyone that overcometh shall sit down with me in the throne, even as I overcome and sit down in the throne with my heavenly Father. And why not? Because heaven is his throne. A lot of room up there. Heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. So then, what are we trying to do? Receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. In what way? As to the measure of the mind, as to the God Spirit, as to whatever you can receive. And whatever you receive, then that's what you are. If you're willing to apply yourself a little bit in this world, and over here you got to dilly-dally it around, as we say, with prestige, and you're going to cut yourself short over here. If you're not willing to get in and surrender and die to the things of the world, then the Bible said you may get in, but as if a fire, and all of your fruits be burned, all of your fruits bringing nothing to perfection, and save yourself as if a fire. So then we are those that believe to see, and we are willing, as Paul said, to give up everything, not knowing anything but Christ, and just looking forward to this that God gives. So then I'm separated from the flesh. I'm no longer in the world. I put the world behind me. And the world, Paul said, is now dead to me. And I'm dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm now baptized into this one great body by the Spirit of God. And I have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, in that I'm now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And this is the wedding garment. So I'm not bodiless. I have a body. And Jesus went down to the heart of the earth to give them a body. And it is said in the book of Revelation that when the seal is opened, he gave unto them white robes and said, just a little more patience. Wait just a little longer until your brethren in like manner has been killed. And after these have been killed, then I'll bring all of you out, he said. But just hold on a little bit longer. So then they, without us, could not be made perfect. They were imperfect under the law, because the blood of bulls and goats could never make the comer thereunto perfect. So they could not be perfect. But you and I are perfect. The Bible said, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And he has sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus at Calvary. He has justified us by faith. He has sanctified us by the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And the Bible said he has glorified us. So then we're not only justified, we're not only sanctified, but we're glorified. It's the justification. We are justified with our spirit, we're sanctified with our soul, and we're glorified in our body, in that we are the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. So you can see what a great mighty thing God has done for the saints of God. It's a great mighty thing. You pass from death unto life, and you can never die. You can never die. And not only that, but you can never come into condemnation. There'll never be coming into condemnation for you, because there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, which walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And of course you cannot walk after the flesh, because you're not in the flesh, you're dead to the flesh, and the flesh is dead to you. It's impossible for saints of God to walk in the flesh. So it's not a haphazard, maybe a sporadic sort of a doing. It is once and for all. God has perfected us for once and for all. Now, someone would say, well, what about sanctification, Brother Pike? The Bible speaks of sanctifying yourself daily. That has nothing to do with salvation. I remind you again, that is a daily sanctification of your conformity to Christ, as putting away the filth of the flesh and the sins. Not that it isn't put away for your salvation, it's already gone. But in that Satan is there to harass you, and this body is here so that Satan can mess around with this body. Though it's not with you, you're in heaven and the body is in this world, and that part is buried. For you bury a person in the world, in the ground, and of the dust to the dust. Jesus said, I'm from heaven, I go back to heaven. Since you and I are of heaven, we went back to heaven with him, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restitution, the restoring, or the millennium. That is the redemption of the body. So that this body that Satan can probe at, in that it is in the realm of lying vanities, you are putting it down and you are crucifying it. Not that it has anything to do with your salvation, but it has to do with your aggravation. It is aggravating, and it's always creating doubt, doubt, doubt. It's an accuser of the brethren, and it's always accusing. Satan, Paul said, within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. And this interwoven thing working within the flesh is always accusing, and in that it does, it causes us not to have a stability in faith. We're wavering, and as long as we waver, we can't take that rod of iron with a rule. We can't have the fullness of the blessings of God, because we are wavering. And the Bible said, he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, like a ship on the sea, is tossed about. He never have anything of God. He's unstable in all of his ways if he be a double-minded man. He must be of one mind, that's the mind of Christ. The other must be completely dead. So you fast to put it to silence, and you pray to awaken the inner man on the inside, so that he can have the preeminence over the outer man, so the outer man won't want to frolic and eat and drink and laugh and talk. And you know, the devil wants to use the body. I say this to you a lot of times, the dispute is over the body. The whole dispute is over the body. The body is what was stolen. Eve was stolen from Adam, and she was the body. She was the power of reproduction. And Eve could not reproduce his image, nor to have his family. So God let man and woman be in the world to show that the body, which is feminine, was separated from God, the eternal spirit, so that God cannot reproduce his image. And the devil has took it into harlotry, and God calls that the great whore, because Satan is reproducing his image, and the Bible calls it the bastard image. And the Bible said in the morning, which has to do with Calvary, that one eternal day, that day of rest, that day of God's rest that we've been into, then in that day, he said, in the morning, I'll despise your image, because it is the image of the bastard child. It's like I said concerning Solomon and the two babies and the two harlots. Remember, all of us is in harlotry as to our first birth. And to the two harlots, and we spoke about the two babes and how that these babes has to do with this thing that I'm speaking of. We've got this on tape somewhere. I won't try to go into it. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so then we can see that there is a great thing that God has done. What has he done? He has completely eradicated, moved away a world. And now there is another world. The first world, Noah, by water, the world was gone and eradicated. The second world, as to blood, as to Calvary, it came in. Now then, that world of the blood of bulls and goats had gone. Now, the third world, which is the angelic world, the spiritual world, as to Christ within your heart, as from Calvary over to the coming of the Lord, each having a 2,000-year dispensation, over to the coming of the Lord, then that means that the spirit of evil is now gone, and as Revelation 12, Satan has been cast out of heaven. He is no more in the spirit world. He is cast out. Only to them that are in the world, so is Satan hid from them. And you and I, being in the spirit world, we look back on that down there, and we know that Satan is cast out. He's not in our heart anymore. Our body is holy because it is now the body of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And the Bible said to be holy in body and in spirit. So then we are holy in body and we are holy in spirit. And we are, as Paul said, I seek to present you to God blameless, body, soul, and spirit. All three. He wants to present us blameless because the angels are spirits and they have no body. So there is something that is to the dispute of the body. The devil has taken the body. And at Calvary, Jesus redeemed the body back. So that's why the Bible said we are of his body. Because we are the body of Adam. Eve was the body of Adam, taken from the body of Adam. And Satan stole the bride of Adam. So then when the Adam came as the second man Adam, or Adam the second time, he came. And when he came, he came as a sinful body, which was the woman, Eve, that he might take that body and punish that body, or that is to say, take the punishment for that body, his bride, to keep his wife from taking it, and go through these horrible, hideous things to take the judgments of God, and they pass through there and come back out into the beautiful garden of God's presence, delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification, to conquer death, which death worked within our body. So then today we are his glorious bride. We're his body. We're spotless. He hath redeemed us. He has taken away our sins, and he has bore our sins and brought us out as his beautiful body. So today, God knows that we're the body of Christ, so we cannot sin. We are spotless. We don't have any blemishes forever and ever and eternally. We are now holy and godly and pure and just because he rent the veil in twain, as Brother Taylor saying. Now, what is this? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then, what is Christ in me? The hope of glory. For he alone was made heir to the glory. No one else, not in all seeds, but as to one, even in Isaac, as to pointing to Christ, so shall thy seed be called. Not of all them that came out of Egypt, that is to say, every one that's under the blood covering, and that the blood is on the seat of atonement. Not every one of them, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called, or that is in the faith child. Not in the bonds child, for the Bible said the bonds child, which is the children of bondage to the beggarly elements of the world, they shall not be heir with my child, it was said. So then as to Sarah, even the mother the church, heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all. So then we can see that we're free from sin and condemnation. We're free. We're in another world now. We've been separated from the world, and we've been caught up into his wonderful presence, and we're no longer in the sin and sorrow and filth and all the uncleanness of the world. We are children of the resurrection. We are children of the resurrection. For he said, everyone that heareth my voice shall come forth in the resurrection. Well, according to the Bible, everyone that heareth the voice is his seed. For the Bible said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. So if thou canst hear, for the Bible said, all men have not ears to hear. For as the prophet prophesied, having ears to hear, they hear not. That is, they have natural ears, but not ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And having eyes, as to the eyes of understanding, being enlightened to comprehend height and the depths and the width and the length. They have not those eyes to see always the things a father does. So then as unto you that are children of the resurrection that can hear and can see, so are ye then in Christ complete. For the Bible said as he is, so are we. That is to say, God made him to be what he wanted us to be, because what he made him to be is what we are in God forever. So then we are forever perfect, because he was the proper child. He was the perfect child. He was without spot. He was without blemish. So then that's what we are. It's no longer us as to our identity being gone. And now he said, them that are called by my name. So we're called by the name of the Lord Jesus. And we are bone of his bone. We are now his body. We're now his bride. Even as a woman is the bride or body of her husband. So then the dispute is over the body. And now God has brought us back to reproduce his image. So then let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be made equal with God. We were made in the form of God also. We were made in the form of God because it was said in the garden, come and let us make man in our own image. Oh, that is, the great eternal Spirit said to Jesus Christ, the human body's sonship, come and let us make a man after the image of this body, and this will be the head of the body. And this will be from now on the great king of all human beings. And I, God, the great eternal Spirit, shall dwell in it in my fullness. But beloved brethren and sisters, we've got to remember one thing. That you received the Spirit by measure. He had the Spirit not by measure. For he was the fullness of God. But the Bible tells us that we receive the Spirit by measure. We can go on to the full reward. We're ordained, as collectively speaking, to the full measure of the full stature of Christ Jesus. That is to say, we can go on and partake freely as to whatever measure of this you want, you can have. But in that you get this measure, you have to empty out the measure of the world. And whatever you squeeze out of the sponge, that's just how much it can absorb. So then, to give yourself a living sacrifice and holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, then we can go on to be equal with our Heavenly Father, overcome and set down in the throne. For everyone that be perfect shall be as his master, but no man shall be above his master. We can do this by faith, by believing, by applying ourselves, by giving ourselves to absorb the things of God, and by wringing the world out of us to get rid of it. So then we find that in this God has done a great, wonderful thing. We're now children of the resurrection. We're now children that have passed from death unto life. We're now children that cannot sin. We're now children that have come beyond condemnation. Happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that thing which he allows, in that God hath no condemnation to him. So then when you stumble and stagger, you cannot sin, because where these things are, there is no conscience of sin. A dead man that is dead to the law is not conscious to life. Or that is to say, the errors, as would be transgression of the law. So then we are dead with the body of the Lord Jesus. Therefore we are not conscious to sin anymore. We are dead to sin, and sin is separated from us, and we're separated from sin. The Bible said where these things are, there is no conscience of sin anymore. So then we are free from death. We're free from condemnation. We're free from these evils. And we don't have to worry about these anything. God has wrought a great thing in us. And now he is revealing it to us. And the revealing of it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's to reveal that God is your hope of glory. Christ within you, the hope of glory. Or I say again, as he stood on the mountain in glory with Moses and Elijah, he alone was heir to that glory. And Moses and Elijah was heir to that glory through him. When I take Christ in my heart, I am now heir to the glory. And I am changed inwardly as to the inner man to the outer man to make this glory manifest, as from glory to glory, from knowledge to knowledge, understanding to understanding, from perception to perception, until I move into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. So that is to say, the kingdom of God within me, Christ, my hope of that glory is growing bigger. And Paul said, I travail until Christ be formed on the inside of you. So then Christ has been formed on the inside of us down through the church ages. And it has come to that great, wonderful thing as to the birth, which means the change of the body, which is the manifestation of the child, and the change of the body brings in the image itself as to appearance. And with this comes the glory that is revealed from within. For Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that this wonderful glory, the wisdom of God, and all these things as to the heavenly treasure that's in these earthen vessels, this that is to be made manifest, or this that is to be revealed, he said, but I say that the things of this world are not to be compared with this wonderful thing that we have on the inside as to the glory of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. Can you? All right. Let us hurry along just for a few minutes. If that is true, then we know what the revelation is. The revelation is the revealing of Christ in you. What is he doing in me? He is revealing himself in you as his body to let you know that you are God. And I say again, this is where they got all upset at him and they wanted to stone him. They wanted to stone him. And Jesus said, and for what good work do you stone me? And they said, for opening the eyes of the blind and stopping the deaf ears or whatever, for a good work we don't stone you. But said, being a man, you make yourself God, for this we stone you. Jesus said, is it not written in the scriptures? Go back to the book of Psalms. I've called ye gods. I called you gods. I'm the one that called you gods, he said. What is a god? A god is something that can't die. A god is something that lives on when other generations die. See, that's what a god is. Have not I called ye gods? Sure, you're gods, because you cannot die. You cannot die. And ye are saviors, for I will bring upon the mountain, he said, saviors in the plural. The Bible said, he that converteth the man from sin, converteth the soul, know that he has saved the soul from death. You are a savior. And what kind of savior? You are the savior, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as though whatever measure there is in you as to that, that is God. Because if you number yourself with the devil, and as Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. As he said concerning Judas, 12 I've chosen, one of you is a devil. If you number yourself with the God spirit, then are you a God, just like he was a devil, numbering himself with a devil spirit. So then ye are God, and as to God, you are God as to the measure. Whatever your measure is, it will be revealed to you by Christ within you as you walk with him. He will reveal to you that you are God, and that is to the measure of God that you are, whether it be whatever measure. Whatever measure. So then, he without measure, it was revealed to him that he was God. As to you, as to your measure, it is revealed to you. And we as one great God body. Somebody would say, well, I can't get a hold of that, Brother Pike. All right, let's look at it. The Bible said, I speak a mystery concerning the man and his wife. This is a great mystery. He said, they are not twain, but now they're one flesh. He said, this is concerning the church, which means what? That we are not twain as the Lord Jesus and as the bride, but we are one flesh. And if we are one flesh, then when they come to look for me, they say, are you Mrs. Pike? Isn't that right? And we are called by his name, and when they come looking for us, what do they say? Yet in Jesus' name, people. Isn't that right? Call by my name. If Jesus is God, can anybody deny that Jesus is God? And he said unto him, when he made the statement unto him, he said unto the priest, thus and thus shall ye be. But he said unto Jesus, and thou art God, and thy days shall not fail, and you'll fold the others up and lay them away. So what do you say? Mrs. God, how are you? Somebody say hallelujah. I'm not making jokes. I said you're God. You're God. Members of the God body in particular. Jesus was God. He's the head of those members. That's why the Bible said, if any man deny that Christ is come in the flesh, that man is an antichrist. When you find people that won't teach God in the flesh, then they're antichrist. But when you teach God in the flesh, then you're not antichrist. For God, the great eternal spirit, through the sanctification of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, now lives in the human body and is now in this body and living within this body to make it eternal that it might live forever. Hallelujah. So then we know that he hath made us bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And he hath made us one with the Godhead, Jesus, even the head of the body, the fullness of the Godhead body. And you're the fullness of the Godhead, God body, that is, as to the membership. He is the fullness of the Godhead body. You're the fullness of the God body as to membership. So then the Godhead is coming after the God membership. And we're going to rule and reign as the man-child throughout eternity with the rod of iron, which means his mind, which means his word, that all of the world will do obeisance, whether it is people of this world, and the Bible said of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end, whether it's the increase throughout eternity, it'd be billions upon billions of billions, ever what he decides to do. We are the ruling factor of all eternity, of the billions and the billions would be years if it was such a thing in eternity, which there isn't any such thing. God is, he was, he shall be. There's no time with God, so he is just as he's always been and will be as he is today. So we thank God because the revelation of Jesus Christ makes us to know these things. Now, there's many things that I could say with that, hurrying through that. It's hard to detail it and take the time that I need for hours and hours to bring it. But trying to get to this thought, are we then anywhere near the redemption of the body? To those that can't see, those that can't understand, naturally you're not. For they say, where is the promise of his coming? For all things remain the same, even as when our fathers fell asleep. There's no change. See, but beloved friend, let me tell you something. We are right at the door. Amen. And you shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. It's right at the door. Let's look at it in a numerical order. I brought out some things not too long ago, and I didn't press the issue. I just brought them out to bring them across your mind. But we are right at the door. Supposing that we went by numbers as to numerical order, somebody would say, well, God will never do that. He definitely will, no doubt about it. He speaks of the numbers of your days. He speaks of times, time, dividing time. He definitely will go by them. But the problem is that the numerical order is the system is all out of balance because the Bible said Antichrist shall seek to change the days, the times, the seasons. And, of course, people like Julius Caesar, different ones, they've done that. As to the calendars, they put in leap year. They've done all kind of things to change it, and they've taken it away from, as we say, the old Jewish way of life of about 30 days. It's rounded off at about 30 days. That's about the way they did their calendars. And we've got 31 and 32 and all kinds of things in our calendar. So there's a number of kind of calendars. Now, but supposing we go by numerical order as to just what we know of our calendar, which wouldn't be accurate, but it would be somewhere in the neighborhood of it. And we could go to a greater accuracy as to pin it down. Perhaps someday we will as to do it. We brought out something along this line. All right, so then when we look at it, we look at it as 89, coming into 89 now. Moving toward 90, we're into the 89, which means when we reach a few more years, it would be the end of another a century. And it will end another 1,000 years. Okay, let's look at it for just a minute. Mr. Bush has gone into office. From Washington to Bush, we spoke of it, spoke of the present day truth of the revelation of the present time. Got many things on tapes concerning these deep mysteries to the revelation of the time. The present day truth. But let's look at a little of it. Here's Mr. Bush. He goes into office. He's got, we would say, 8 years if he goes 2 terms. Whereas we had spoke of a monarch coming in and has been begin to move in. Carter begged for an extension and Reagan begged for an extension, but he didn't get it. But Mr. Bush got it to this extent. Mr. Bush comes into a monarch thing because this spells about 16 years to Mr. Bush, or something in the neighborhood of this. Because, see, he has been in the politics from the beginning. Even as vice president, very seldom that comes into view. Even as Roosevelt, four terms, and died on the fourth one. Mr. Bush coming in, if he makes 8 years, he has plenty of time to do the thing like he wants to because it moved into a monarchy. Someone would say, well, even that doesn't spell monarchy. But it does if you look at it. So then when you see this thing and Mr. Bush coming in, then we say this is the new beginning. Mr. Reagan said, I feel like I'm coming in, the world's going out. So then we have a new beginning when it comes to the politics. Here comes a new thing from Washington over to Bush. That's from name to name. So then we see here that there is something that has happened. Mr. Reagan being a movie star, we say the Star War and these kind of things, as to war in heaven, being caught up, ruling with a rod of iron. You know how he did rule. He said something was like Roosevelt. He said, I'll bum, so he bums. All right, now then we see something coming in, which means back to the father. Washington was the father of our country, which means the spirit of our spirit of truth, a symbol of the spirit of truth, coming all the way back in a cycle, coming back around to this. And I hope you'll bear with me because I'm trying to hurry along here, not as to keep you long, to let you out of here. All right, so then M that he comes in, we say 89, what does he do? He goes down through his administration. He gets on down to about 97, where he ends his administration. And what happens? We got about 3 years left. What does this mean? About 3 years. That means about 3 years and we turn another millennium. For 1,000 years is a millennium. And as 10 years is a decade, as a century, 100 years, as a millennium. For 1,000 years, we turn over the 6 days of God's labor. And we end it. As 6 days, a day as 1,000 years with God, 1,000 years as a day, and here we end it within 3 years from the end of the Bush administration, and it is ended, and then comes the seventh millennium. And this seventh millennium points to the millennium, or the 1,000 years, as the Bible terms it. The 1,000 years, as to the day it's God's rest. We spiritually know that the day of God's rest begins with Calvary because that's the end of time. Time shall be no more, the fulfillment of time. You're not children of time, but children of the resurrection. Now, but nevertheless, as to the world, where it becomes effective, nothing becomes effective until you know it and believe it in God. So here it is. We see 3 years, as we would say. Then we say, what does this have to do with? Well, let us just say, numerically speaking, that there is 3 or 3.5 years that Antichrist comes in. Now, that would have to be the last 3 years of the 7 years of tribulation, which is the last week of Daniel. Because the millennium comes in, there could be no more years. So then that means if that is the last, then from the middle of the week, which is the war in heaven, Antichrist comes in. So with Mr. Bush's terminal place, then comes Antichrist. Are you listening? Now, let's move up, numerically speaking, about 3 years. Someone would say, why? Let's move to about 93. Someone would say, why 93? Because you've got to remember the church is translated at the beginning of the week. John saw the door open in heaven at the beginning of the week. So that would move it another 3 years back for the church to go out, even in the middle of Mr. Bush's administration. So then when we take a look at that in a numerical order, that makes us to realize that time is getting real close. Now, we're just supposing that you went by numerical order to give you some idea of how close the end of time is. Now, then, some would say, well, Brother Pike, that means that we wouldn't have but about 3 years. Well, let's look at it like this. You've got a 3-year offset in that they find Jesus in history in the A.D. going up to the temple at the age of 9, as they say, when he really was the age of 12. So they've got an offset here in the A.D. B.C. whatsoever. So then we've got another 3 years to consider.
When we consider that 3 years, that where does that put us? And then besides that, we've got some other things to consider, that if it is 31, 32 days to our calendar, when it's only 30 days to the Jewish calendar, that moves it forward again as to X amount of days over the great period of time as to 2,000 years. Where does that put us? You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, I got 3 years. I better live it up quick and then get right. I'm saying to you, do you know whether you've got another day or not? Let's give the Lord a hand. Can you tell? The Bible said no man's going to know the day nor the hour of his coming. It said when you see these things, know that it's nigh even at the door. For you're not children of darkness, but children of light. That is of the revelation of the understanding of the mind of Christ. You'll know when it's nigh even at the door. That is when he takes hold of the doorknob. That's as close as he can get. At the heart's door knock and saying, whosoever will open me, I'll come in and sup with him. So then the children of this world, will they know? The Bible said they'll say, where is the promise of his coming? All things remain the same as when our fathers fell asleep. That is to say, the Bible said, they shall not see when good cometh. For Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, hath blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they shall not be able to see when good cometh. They don't know anything about this thing. So far as they're concerned, they're full of frolic, they're full of their prestige, they're full of their trying to have a business, are full of themselves as to the gullible desire of the flesh, wanting to make progress in the world, wanting to advance in the world, always looking toward the world. See, they are blinded by their own ignorance and by their own human ego and desire, their own gullible desire. So then where are we at? Where are we at? Can anyone say that the coming of the Lord is not nigh at hand? When you see all these things come, know that it's not even at the door. Just like I believe they recorded two earthquakes just recently concerning California. The last days, one of the great signs was earthquakes in diverse places. As a boy, I never heard of those things. It was very seldom you ever heard of an earthquake. Could be that they were having them, but we didn't have that much communication in the world. But at the same time, when you look back and check back, you don't find where they had them that frequently. See, what it is, the whole earth is broken up like an eggshell. And it is the end of the world. And the great crisis is right on us right now. Earthquakes, continually earthquakes, one of the signs of the last time. A sinful, adulterous generation married one time, two times, three times. See, it's right on us. All of these things is right on us everywhere. It's an adulterous generation. See, and lovers of self, more than lovers of God, lovers of pleasure. Just a great world of frolic. That's the way the whole world is. See, so that means that something is taking place and many people aren't seeing it. But you that are children of light, you should see this. Many things, Jesus said, I have to say unto you, but you're dull of hearing. You see that you are. I can't say these things to you. Folks, this is why I say we won't have any time to be running out into the world. They're running around to the night spots, always getting together, eating and drinking, as was said of them, that the end of the world would come upon, unaware. We should be together all the time, talking about God, the revelation of God, seeking this understanding. We're children of the resurrection. We're children of another world. We're not children of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. You're not of that world. Come out from among them and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Why do you want a business out there? Why do you want to be a celebrity out there? Why do you want to be part of that out there? Why do you want to get in goods with them out there? There's no reason for that other than one thing. The Bible said if God rejects you, then make to yourself friends of the unrighteous mammon that they may receive you into everlasting habitation. Your business and your money and your prestige and all of that, don't you know that you're rejecting God and that you're just making friends of the devil out there because you can't serve mammon and God? And when you got your mind on making money and prestige and the things of the world, that's mammon, and God will not have you. You've got to be in Christ. No other way. You've got to be in Christ. No secondhand stuff. All right, so then we'd still like to say a lot of things along this line this morning, but I know I can't because I've already kept you quite a bit and I was late coming. I say these few things to stir up your pure mind in Christ. And I take a little longer because they go on tape. And if I quit in the middle of the stream, then they get out of and somebody gets confused and they don't know what I'm saying. Because they go all over the world. See, so I have to hurry along and run like a racehorse sometimes when I'm late, especially if I don't feel a real spiritual atmosphere about the people and press and press and compact till I can get enough at least to where the people can understand it out there. And when the ladies take it off of the book, off of the tape, in the book form, then they're not tripped up out in the world when they go to read it. Like the man that came to me said, he found the golden egg. He found the golden egg. So there must be something to that that God's trying to tell us. There's one thing for sure. You are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. Christ, the Spirit is within you, the hope of glory, and it is God revealing to you as to your Godship, as to your power of deity, as to what you are membership-wise, as to anything that you would belong to. That's what your worth would be as to whatever you invest. And to this great, wonderful thing of God, whatever your measure is, you should be seeking to have more heavenly treasure in your earthen vessels and seeking God with all of your heart to be filled with the Spirit of God. You need to have more of the knowledge of God and the more of the understanding, because you perish at the hand of the devil by your ignorance, lack of knowledge, the Bible said. Though you're gods, you die like men because you do not realize that God has given you life to where you don't even have to sleep. So we just keep on learning, keep on growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, because we are children of the resurrection. And this day of his wrath, which is near at hand, shall come upon them that's in the world as that which is unaware. For as a thief in the night shall he come upon them. Unawares he shall come upon them. All right, let's stand together. May the Lord bless you this morning. Remember, the veil has been rent in twain. And now the great, wonderful knowledge of God, the heavenly treasure, is now revealed to you as to what Christ made you. God made you in Christ before the world was. In his foreknowledge, you are elect according to his foreknowledge. And the Bible says, nothing can separate you from the love of God, not even sin. Nothing. And the Bible said, make your calling and election sure, or make sure that you're one of the called and the elect, as to the foreordained unto eternal life. If you do these things, you shall never fall. Prove your nature as to what kind of nature you've got. And as many as were ordained unto eternal life, even this morning as I preach to you, whether by tape or whether here at the sanctuary, as many as ordained unto eternal life, as before of old was predestinated unto this eternal life, they will believe when they hear, the rest will not. And the blood atones for them that will believe. Though it is a sovereignty as to let whosoever will, yet it was that God foresaw who would and who would not. All of his works being known unto him from the beginning, and therefore he predestinated you by the foreknowledge. So that is what he knew that you would do. As to conform to the image of his Son, he saw whether you would be gullible after that you'd heard the truth, whether or not you'd be gullible for the things of the world, or whether or not you would submit and love him and be sincere and godly toward him. And he preordained accordingly. So then Judas went to his place. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears, but found none. Because God foresaw before the children was ever born that Jacob would seek after the things of God and Esau would go after the world. That's why God switched the birthright. Not that he gave the benefit of the birthright to Jacob, in that he sent Jacob off and Jacob had to slave for a living while Esau enjoyed the wealth of being at home. But he wanted to show that the spiritual birthright would go to him, and that the elder would serve the younger. The first birth must serve the second birth. Though the first birth is at preeminence in the world today, and they have all kind of powers as kingship, yet they have to fall to the great mighty hand and the mind of Almighty God, that he be the preeminence, and the younger, which is the second birth, as to the born-again experience, the body must submit to the spirit. And the spirit must have preeminence over the body. All right, let's sing together, can we? Have you been born again? Jesus said, unless you're born again, you don't even have eyes as to the second child. As the first child hath eyes and can see not the heavenly things, so the second child hath eyes that is too pure to look upon the earthly things as to the sin. But to be born again is to have the eyes of the child of the second birth. I travail till Christ be formed within you. Can we sing together? Let's sing I Love Him, can we? I love him.
I love him all because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing it? I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing it with me now? Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is one more time. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is one more time. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. So we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Oh, there's room down at the cross for you. Oh, there's room down at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am. Can you sing that with me? For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burden of our heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus.
Weep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, while I sit at your feet, oh sweet Savior, sweep over my soul.
Sing it with me.
For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe.
Can you sing that with me?
For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I
sing it with me.
So don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again, so let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. So listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him.
Can you sing that with me?
So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away, for he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. For a while you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. So listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away.
You love the Lord? The songwriter said, shut in with Jesus in a secret place, gaining new courage to run in the race. There I'm shut in with Jesus, beholding his face. I'm gaining new courage to run in the race. Let's sing this together.
They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar. King to dine as his guest, and how blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face and aglow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. For they'll come from the east and the west, and they'll come from the lands that's afar, to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. And how blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face and aglow with light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. I don't want your gold and silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus. Oh, to me, he's everything. Sing it with me. So we don't want no gold or silver, and we don't want no diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus. Oh, to me, he's everything. Can you sing it with me? So I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want no diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus. For to me, he's my everything. Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun will shine across the river, and I'll never be again. In this life we're living in, I have lived the life of sin. I've done forbidden things I shouldn't do. But I met the Savior on the way. Ask Him for a place to stay, where I could find real happiness and love that's true. Sing it with me now. Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there ain't no more pain. For the sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy. Can you sing that again? Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again. Sing it one more time. Across the bridge, there ain't no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there ain't no more pain. For the sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy. Can you sing it one more time? It's across the bridge, there ain't no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again. Can you give the Lord a hand? He touched me, and oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know that He touched me, and He made me whole. For Jesus touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me, and He made. Can you sing that with me again? Oh, Jesus touched me. Oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy
that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that he touched me and he made me whole. Can you lift up your hands and close your eyes? Jesus touched me. I know he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. Jesus touched me. I know that he made me whole. If I were standing here, I hope that you can absorb this morning. And I hope that you can get a hold of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Get a hold of it. Today, meditate on it. Don't let it leave your mind. Bring every thought into every thought, the Bible says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. That is to say, all these thoughts of carnality. Satan tries to exalt himself through your thinking. And all these thoughts of carnality, of feeling preeminent, of feeling like you're somebody, or lifting the flesh up, or eating and drinking, and prestigious thoughts, and all these other kind of things. Put them all down and humble yourself. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he didn't try to make of himself a reputation. He humbled himself to wash the feet of the saints, saying, if I, your Lord and Master, do this, then ye should do it also. For all carnality, all natural resistance, it is a resistance against God. And the more that the carnality is eliminated, the more that the thoughts of arrogancy and jealousy and fault-finding and gullible desire of the world is eliminated, the more Jesus comes into you. And the greater measure of God you have, the more that you abase yourself, the Bible said, God will exalt you. If you exalt yourself, as many of the great ministers of today, they're falling because they've exalted themselves and lifted themselves up by money and advertisement and fame and popularity, and they're falling. But if you will abase yourself in his sight, then he will exalt you in due season, and he'll lift you up, and you'll never fall. The Bible said, and they that do these things shall never fall. People can desire your hurt, but they will be the ones that will fall. Come out against you as the enemy one way and flee before you seven ways. David said, I know that the Lord favors me because my enemies does not triumph over me. And when you walk with God, though you have many battles, I thank God, the writer said, through Jesus Christ, who always gives me the victory. This is the victory, even your faith. Don't get rid of your faith. Do all that you can to fast, to pray, to walk holy, to be clean, to be godly, to be upright. Why should you do this? Because this is a strength to your faith, and the more that you believe, the greater and the more powerful you are to do things in the Spirit, as to the gifts, or as to have the knowledge of God, or to be mighty as sons of God in the earth, to establish the kingdom of God in the earth. The law and the prophets until John, since that time we've been establishing the kingdom, to have his will done on earth as in heaven. That death can be swallowed up into victory. And then it can be said that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, that he might reign forever and ever. So then, ye being sons and daughters of God, let's be about our Father's business. Meditate in these things, Paul said, fully and wholly, that you may give them yourself to these holy, that your profiting may appear to all men. To see that you are filled with the Spirit of God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, and the world cannot withstand the wisdom, as it was with Stephen, the wisdom by which you speak. So let him rule and reign in your heart, even as Christ. The Bible said, don't allow sin to rule or reign in your heart, not even for a moment, not for one moment. Don't let it rule in your body, for you should be holy in body and in spirit. So then, as you stand here before God, examining your hearts to see if your conviction of faith is in the Word,
I say to you again, in the latter times, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, which is intellectual practices and things that have intellectually been passed on by PhDs and philosophers. And they'll spoil you, and that you will leave your simplicity as of the gospel. So then believe on the Lord Jesus, for he is your Savior. He is your salvation. He is your healing. He is your righteousness. The Bible said, Christ, our righteousness. He is our everything. Just believe in him, children of God. And don't doubt. Don't doubt. When you stumble, don't condemn yourself. You know, someone says, well, I done wrong, Brother Pike. Well, you should get born again and you wouldn't be doing that. But you that are right, that love God, that stumble and stagger when you're trying in your heart to be holy and godly to the fullest degree, don't condemn yourself over it, because that's what the blood atonement was for. Keep your faith up and go from mountaintop to mountaintop, from victory to victory, healing to healing, from salvation to salvation, from deliverance to deliverance, and continue on with God to be great and mighty sons and daughters in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always abounding in the gospel, doing that which is good, knowing that God has taken care of you and that he hath given you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And this is your victory, even your faith over the enemy, to believe over him and be strong in what Jesus has done in your behalf. May the Lord bless you this morning as you stand here. Let our hearts and lives be lifted up to God in such a way that nothing can penetrate that veil. But ask Brother Randy Bondi to come up if he will. And while Randy's coming to pray, let's think on Jesus. What a beautiful day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Since Calvary, this is the day. This is the day of rest. He that entereth into this faith as to believe in the righteousness and works of the Lord Jesus, he can rest from his toil and his striving and his labor, because he believeth his way. And the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. Sin is gone by Calvary. And blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness by faith without works. And as Paul said, concluding, therefore, that a man is saved by the faith of Jesus Christ, by which he is sanctified, without the deeds of the law, which deed is folded up and laid away. So then, as our brother comes to pray, think on this wonderful victory and encourage yourself and stir up the mind of Christ, even your pure mind, and get stronger and stronger. Keep telling yourself that you're mighty and great, not in your ability, in your appearance, in your strength, but in the strength of Jesus and in the works of God and in the virtues of the Lord Jesus, and you'll want to praise him more and more. Let us praise him more. See, and more you want to talk to him and meditate in his laws and love him. And the more you do, the stronger you get, the more mightier you get, because the more you believe in him, the more powerful you are. According to your faith, Jesus said, so be it unto you.